Good morning again. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1. Let's go ahead and begin in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you and rejoice in your grace and your kindness to us in Christ. We thank you that you are faithful in all things. We thank you that you promised to build your church and that you will succeed in that. Help us now as we look at the word in Christ's name. Amen. Our family arrived in Worcester, Ohio on Thursday, February 12th, 2015, on a night that some of you guys were here to help us unload our U-Haul. It had a wind chill of 25 degrees below zero. We joined about 15 of you who were holding Bible studies for the previous year and a half. And the following Wednesday, so we arrived on the 12th, the following Wednesday, the 18th of February, we had our first meeting together after our arrival. We met, as I mentioned before, in Hans and Cassie's living room in their apartment on Schrock Road. And at that first meeting, we gathered together to pray about the future of what would later be called Crossview Church. And I gave a brief challenge that night as we prayed together. And the challenge I had entitled, Trust God and Keep Your Powder Dry. And that is a statement that was attributed to Oliver Cromwell, that we are to be busy about working for the Lord, but ultimately, our trust is to be in the Lord to do this work. Psalm 127 was the verse that I gave that challenge from, and it was says this: Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And I want to preach on this same verse today, and give us kind of perhaps in some ways the same challenge, and yet looking at it 5 years later. We recognize that Christ is still building his church. Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus promises in this verse that he will be the one to build his church, and thus it is guaranteed to be successful. And so there are some important implications that we ought to grasp if we are going to be successful as a local church, Crossview Church. And that is what I want to talk about today. We want to avoid certain strands of theology that tell us to just let go and let God. And at the same time, we want to avoid the kind of theology that tells us that our labor has value independent of Christ. Our labor has value only when it's in the Lord. And so the question that we'll ask today as we look at Psalm 127:1 is simply this: How can my labor and how can our labor in building this church not be in vain? What does it take for us not to have vain labor? And so there's really three different things I'd like to discuss today. The first one is simply this, that we are to build God's church using God's mindset. We are to have the mind of Christ. We are to have a mindset that is God's mindset as we look to building the church. And what is that mindset? It is something that the Lord teaches us about his strength and our corresponding weakness. If we don't get this right, then we're not going to be successful in doing what we've been called to do. Again, Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. This is a synecdoche, which means basically that these two statements encompass the whole. All pursuits. He talks about the builder and the watchman. We could simply add to this and say, unless the Lord produces the crop, the farmer farms in vain. Unless the Lord produces income, the worker labors in vain. And to take it straight to the point today, unless the Lord builds his church, the members labor in vain. What then is the Lord's mindset that we need to embrace as we look to building the church? It is this: we are dependent rather than independent creatures. We will never be successful builders of anything on this earth, much less the church, if we fail to recognize our complete and total dependence upon the Lord. We need Christ. You need Christ. I need Christ. And this church will not be successful apart from the Lord of the church, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? Weakness. Nebuchadnezzar realized God's sufficiency. He boasted in his own pride and then was humbled by God. And then Nebuchadnezzar himself, this pagan king, confesses, I bless the Most High and praise him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? It is the Lord alone on his throne. The Puritan William Perkins says this: take away from an aged man his staff and he falls. And likewise, we could say the same thing. Take away God's blessing from the church and it falls. Without Christ, we don't have the church. Unless the Lord builds the church, the members labor in vain. Secondly, we need to build the church using God's methods. If you're going to build a house for yourself, you have a little bit of freedom. I could put a window here. I could put a door here. I could use this kind of heating. I could use this kind of cooling or whatever. But if you're building a house for a client, then you have to yield your preferences to their preferences. They want the window here instead of there. They want this many stories instead of that many stories. And the same is true for the church. The Lord tells us, this is how the church is to be. I want the windows here and the doors here and this here and this here. And then sometimes we have the audacity to say, but that just, it's not really relevant enough, God. Can't you get with the times? I did a little search as I was preparing on modern church growth strategies. And I looked online and I found some church growth courses that you can take. And here are some of the titles that these church courses look like. Social media fundamentals for your church and ministry. Church event promotion marketing strategy for big turnouts. Or this: how churches and NGO charity can generate more income streams. And of course, we could go on and on and on and find this strategy and that strategy and this technique and that technique. And while there is certainly value in planning and organization, we recognize there's a fundamental difference between how the church should be organized and how the modern business strategies are organized. This is the Lord's work. This is the Lord's work, and we're going to use his methods. So what are the Lord's methods? Well, I could sum up our church growth strategy in one verse, Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, that says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Is there anything more that we need? Is there anything lacking in the word of God that we should supplement the word with this because it's not quite relevant here or it's not quite applicable here? Simply, the Lord will build his church using his methods, and he simply laid them out to us. It is prayer and the ministry of the word. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, for as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed. The word of the Lord is successful. The word will succeed. And many churches I know have grown tired of the word, believing that perhaps maybe there are certain aspects of the word that we should suppress because it chafes with modern man. the word in prayer. Why the word in prayer? Because it simply testifies to point number one, that God is sufficient and we're not. Of course, 1 Corinthians 1, who is the one who's wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? God is delighting in taking human wisdom and just crushing it and saying, my wisdom is so much better. How is he doing this? Through the word? He says it's simply through the folly of preaching, the foolishness of what this looks like to the world. The Lord is building his church through these methods so that he could say, there's no boasting for you. It was all me. Why do we preach the word? Why do we simply open the Bible and preach one verse after the next? One person has said, because God knows what his people need better than we do. That's simply it. God has already given to us the sufficient word. He knows what his people need. Who are we to hide the word from people? This is the way that he's going to build his church, is through the word and through prayer. And then third, we need to build using God's goals. This is quite different from the modern idea of church in America. The church in America tends to have goals that are typically more self-worshipping. God's goals involves simply this, the exaltation of his own name. That's his goal. God wants to exalt and magnify his own name. For example, why does the Lord say that he's going to preserve his people? In 1 Samuel 12:22, it says, the Lord will not forsake his people because they have great personalities. No. For his great name's sake. You see the priority there? The preeminence of the name of the Lord. This is the goal. Victoria Osteen. Wife of megachurch pastor Joel Osteen said the following a number of years ago. She said this, I just want to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We are doing it for ourselves. Because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives him the greatest joy this morning. God's greatest joy. I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Just do good for your own self is what she says. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship him, you're not doing it for God, really. These are her words. When you worship God, you're not doing it for God. She continues, you're doing it for yourself because that's what makes God happy. Amen? That's her amen, not my amen, okay? You know what that's called? Pagan idolatry. That is idolatry. We're tempted to think this way sometimes. We are tempted to think that it is all about us. It's all about God. It's all about the Lord. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? Why does he do that? Because he thinks that it'll make us happy ultimately. I mean, certainly we understand that we have joy when we obey the Lord. Certainly, we get that. But what does Psalm 23:3 say? He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. It's for him. God sanctifies us for him. He sanctifies us for his glory. He sanctifies us for his name's sake. He sanctifies us so that everyone will look and say, what in the world happened there? The only thing that could explain that is God. And now we become conduits for worship and praise and honor and glory and exaltation for the Lord alone. He shares his throne with nobody for his name's sake. Psalm 115 in verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Perhaps maybe he had to say that twice, not to us, for Victoria's sake. Not to us, not to us, but to your own name give glory. All of this means that success is redefined according to God's standards rather than our own. Success is not measured in having a church of a given size. Rather, it is measured by the faithfulness of God's people as demonstrated by their dependence on him. Success is bringing glory to God and humbling ourselves in light of his grace to us. Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. We have been imperfect. I have been imperfect. And no doubt I have let some of you, all of you down. We've let each other down. We've sinned against each other. We've made mistakes. We've done all these kinds of things. And yet the Lord's grace has been evident in all of it. He continues to draw us back to himself. And by his grace, we need to continue with the Psalm 127:1 conviction for the next 5 years. We ask this question, how can my labor not be in vain? How can our labor in the church not be in vain? The answer is we don't have to settle for vain labor. Because of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, which says this, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. There's no such thing as success independent of the Lord. It's only success in the Lord. If our work is in the Lord, done for his glory, using his methods, using his mindset, when we seek to honor the Lord for the Lord's sake and not for any of his benefits, we rejoice in the benefits. But when we love the giver more than the gift, our labor is not in vain. How is this possible? Because Jesus Christ himself has redeemed us from the vanity of this world. Romans 8, verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The church is Christ's work just as much today as it was at the beginning. And we anchor ourselves to the church. If we, as a local church, ever get our eyes off of Christ and off of the gospel, then I'm going to tell you right now, to just leave this church. It's about Christ. If we ever fail to believe that this is Christ's work and we think that it's our own work, then this church has failed. This is about Christ and his kingdom. And so let's give our lives for Christ. Let's join in battle together and give our lives for Christ, knowing that we're building his kingdom and not our own. It's all about Christ. It's all about the hope of the gospel. He has redeemed us as a people. And if you have not been redeemed, if you're one who doesn't know Christ, we want to be a blessing to you in that way, knowing that your life can be redeemed through Christ and through the gospel as well. Thank you, God, for today and your ministry to our own hearts. Help us now as we continue in Christ's name.